Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from sixth canto, chapter 16, entitled Kinchitraketu Meets the Lord, texts 8 and 9. So, verse 8 is on the board, so we are going to read verse 8. And then, because I was told to read 8 and 9, so and then I'll go to 9. Evam jonigato jiva sanityo nirahankrita yavat yatro palabhyeta tavat swatam hitasyatat evam jonigato jiva sanityo nirahankrita yavajyatro palavyeta tavat sat swatam hitasyatat evam jonigato jiva sanityo nirahankrita yavat yatro palabhyeta tavat swatam hitasyatat. Evam jonigato jiva sanitya nirahankrita yavajyatro palabhyeta tavat swatam hitasyatat evam jonigato jiva sanityo nirahankrita yavajyatro palabhyeta tava swatvam hitasyatat. Anyone else? Evam jonigato jiva sanityo nirahankrita yavajyatro palabhyeta tavat swatvam hitasyatat evam thus jonigata being within a specific species of life jiva the living entity sa he nitya Eternal. Nirahankrita, without identification with the body. Yavat, as long as. Yatra, where. Upalabhyeta, he may be found. Tavat, that long. Swatvam, the concept of self. He, indeed. Tasya, of him. Tat, that. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of a relationship based on bodies that are perishable, the living entity is eternal. Actually, it is the body that is born or lost, not the living entity. One should not accept that living entity takes birth or dies. The living being actually has no relationship with the so-called fathers and mothers. As long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother, as a result of his past rooted activities, he has a connection with the body given by that father and mother. Thus, he falsely accepts himself as their son and acts affectionately. After he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. Purport. When the living entity lives within the material body, he falsely thinks that he is the body, although actually he is not. His relationship with his body and his so-called father and mother are false, illusory conceptions. These illusions continue as long as one is not enlightened about the situation of the living entity. And I'm going to read also text number 9. Esa nityo vyaya sukshma, esa sarvas raya swadrik, atma maya gunair visvam, atmanam sriyate prabhu. Translation. The living entity is eternal and imperishable because he actually has no beginning and no end. He never takes birth or dies. He is the basic principle of all types of bodies, yet he does not belong to the bodily category. The living being is so sublime that he is equal in quality to the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, because he is extremely small, he is prone to be illusioned by the external energy, and thus he creates various bodies for himself according to his different desires. Purport. In this verse, the philosophy of Achintya Veda, simultaneously oneness and difference, is described. The living entity is eternal, nitya, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the difference is that the Supreme Lord is the greatest, no one being equal to or greater than him, whereas the living entity is sukshma, or extremely small. The Shastra describes that the magnitude of the living entity is 1/10,000 the size of the tip of a hair. The Supreme Lord is all-pervading, andan tarasta paramanu chayan tarastam. Relatively, if the living entity is accepted as the smallest, there should naturally be inquiry about the greatest. The greatest is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the smallest is the living entity. Another peculiar characteristic of the jiva is that he becomes covered by maya. Atma maya gunai. He is prone to be covered by the Supreme Lord's illusory energy. The living entity is responsible for his conditional life in the material world, and therefore he is described as Prabhu, the Master. If he likes, he can come to this material world, and if he likes, he can return home back to Godhead. Because he wanted to enjoy this material world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave him a material body through the agency of the material energy. As the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Isvara sarvabhutanam hridese arjuna tisthati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The Supreme Lord gives the living entity a chance to enjoy in this material world as he desires, but he openly expresses his own desire that the living entity give up all material aspirations, fully surrender unto him, and return home back to Godhead. The living entity is the smallest, sukshma. Jiva Goswami says in this connection that the living entity within the body is extremely difficult for materialistic scientists to find. Although we understand from authorities that the living entity is within the body, although we understand that, the body is different from the living entity. Oman gyanati mirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurum militan yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Si Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitan Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gourangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I pray that with your blessings I may be able to share something with you that may be beneficial for all of us. And I'm going to repeat the text. It's long, but anyway. Even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of relationship based on bodies that are perishable, the living entity is eternal. Actually, it is the body that is born and lost, not the living entity. One should not accept that the living entity takes birth or dies. The living being actually has no relationship with the so-called fathers and mothers. As long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother, as a result of his past fruitive activities, he has a connection with the body given by that father and mother. Thus, he falsely accepts himself as their son and acts affectionately. After he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. So, even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of the relationships based on the bodies that are perishable and temporary, the living entity is eternal. So, we the soul, the living beings, actually cannot be affected by this material energy. It's very powerful, but we have nothing to do with the material energy because we are the soul, Jivera Svarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. We are eternal servants of Krishna, that's the fact. But coming in contact with material nature, we forget, and then we act as a person in a machine, as a person driving a car, no? Sometimes drivers get really identified with their cars, and as soon as another car comes in front, they horn and they get person who was peacefully driving to some holiday vacation or something, all of a sudden gets so upset and irritated, no? And it's due to identifying himself with the car. No, this car is mine. No? And then if someone crashes the car, he becomes desperate, ready to punch the other person, the other driver, no? So that's the condition, no? Of the living entity within the body. But actually, the body and the soul can never be, they are never one, they are different realities. One is temporal reality and the other is the eternal reality. But it's like if we have paint, we have a blue recipient with blue paint and another recipient with yellow paint. So if we mixed both paints, it becomes green. It cannot be separated, it becomes green. And this is the situation of the soul when it identifies with the body. It starts acting as it would be the body, and thus is ready to harass others who come in between him, me, and my pleasure. So that's the result of falsely identifying with the body. You know? So in this situation, the body starts to think that everything is meant for my pleasure. So this is a characteristic. This means thinking that I am the enjoyer. It's, I am God, actually. When I behave in this way, although we know, I know, I am spirit, soul, eternal servant of Krishna, when I become perturbed by another person who comes in between my plans or my schedule, then I am behaving as if I would think that I am God. And this is what is inside the consciousness. I think I am God. That's why I get bewildered and irritated when someone breaks my plans. So, what is the nature of the soul? The soul is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And the body is just the opposite. It's temporary. It's asat. And the characteristic of asat is ignorance and suffering. Because in ignorance, one cannot be really be happy, because one will be embracing the wrong things to get happiness. One may get some temporary happiness, but if he does, if the person does get that temporary happiness, it's cause of greater distress, because if one experiences happiness, then one does not want to lose it. So, then what to do? We need some solution to this problem, no? And the point is the consciousness, no? The point is remember that I am the eternal soul, the eternal servant of Krishna, Jivera Svarupoi, Krishna Nityadas, and therefore there is nothing that really can affect me, no? And we see there are examples of devotees who have been in very difficult situations, as in Russia, no? Being in concentration camps, being forbidden to chant the holy name, not being allowed to dress in devotional clothes, not wearing tilak, not even having an altar, not even photos of the spiritual master and Krishna, no? Never reading a literature, not having books. But still, they understand, they are forced to understand that, because they have no other choice, that, well, all this does not affect me. They can forbid me everything they may want, but I am Krishna's servant. And inside they meditate upon like this, no? Everything is coming due to my past activities, but Krishna is there. He is the hand behind every circumstance for me to take shelter of him. So he sees the misery as an opportunity to remember Krishna. And there was a devotee that was in Russia, was so sick, you know, and he understood he was about to leave the body. So he asked his roommate, something like this, he asked to shave his head. And they make, sometimes these devotees, they make like a kind of japa with their cloth, they tie knots to be more focused. So when this person, this roommate came back, he found the devotee sitting on his bed with his hand in his cloth beads, no? So there is nothing that can affect the soul. There is no limitation. The soul cannot be burned, cannot be cut into pieces, and the soul cannot be forbidden to chant Hare Krishna. The Krishna consciousness is a state of heart, state of consciousness. It's not an external thing that I need to remember, to keep on reminding me every time. That's why it's so good trying to share these thoughts with you, no? And this is the solution, remembering that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, and everything is being done by Krishna, seeing the hand of Krishna in every situation. And one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus come to the level of Brahman, no? Yamuna is another example, no? She was sick, and she understood she was gonna leave the body soon, no? And when her friend came next day, she found her sitting in the bed with her hand inside her bed bag. So she left in that consciousness, no? Remembering Krishna, remembering the holy name. So there is sickness, concentration camp, there is no obstruction for the soul who wants to remember Krishna. As soon as one understands this principle, Jivera Svarupai, Krishna Nityadas, Prabhupada says, the simple truth that every living entity is eternally the servant of Krishna, then the person becomes immediately liberated. Svarup means original, constitutional position. This is our Svarup. Original constitutional position as servants of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the real position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So our position is servants, subordinate position. And who can overcome now this material nature in which we are, and who wants to remain in this material circumstance, suffering and exposed to death and sickness? No, no one wants that. And therefore we need to take the process. Even materially speaking, there are processes. Well, we can give a material example, no? Yeah. Well, was a thought that I had, no? Because if we have a photo, I mean that there is hope. We have a photo that is too green, no? Sometimes we take a photo of nature and it gets too green and we cannot distinguish if the camera is not good, we cannot distinguish the persons, the face, and so we can bring the photo into digital program, no? And with Photoshop we can remove less yellow, less green, and then the photo becomes better quality, no, or good quality. So the process for us is the chanting of the holy name, no? There is hope. We can always take shelter in the holy name, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Lord Chaitanya wants us to chant constantly. And 2 days ago I was listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying this, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nameiva Kevalan, Kalonastieva, Nastieva, Nastieva, Gattira Niyata. There is no other process than taking shelter in the holy name. And he said that actually Kirtan means also worshipping the Lord, means also cooking for the Lord, means sweeping the temple of the Lord, means preaching, sharing the knowledge that is being given to us. This is also Kirtan. So there is no any excuse for us to not take shelter of the name, of the holy name of the Lord. No. So this is Sarva Dharman Parityajam. No, this is Mukti, Prabhupada says. Mukti means to surrender unto me. And when you take shelter of me, I immediately save you. So, but what happens? The other day it happens to me. We are supposed to take shelter of Krishna and see everything as the hand of Krishna, but we are so covered. No? The other day in the temple, a devotee told me, move to a side. But I have a route, no? I have my program. I go to my program. I go to Radha, to Panchatattva, to Radha Madhava, Lasmini Singadev. And I was so into my program that if I didn't see the devotee as the hand of Krishna, to opportunity to please Krishna, so fortunate, a devotee telling me, move to this side. It's an opportunity to please Krishna, because the best way to please Krishna is by serving his devotee. And I didn't. I just followed my path. I said, the guard pushed me, and it's true, the guard pushed me, because there were many people, and he took me out from the crowd that was pushing and took me to a side that there were the devotees. And this devotee tells, move to a side, very gently. And I didn't do it. And I moved and went. I could have go back to the mass of people and go backwards to my... Anyway, so sometimes we miss. It's very easy to miss the chance to see the hand of Krishna. So we can see, because I am not so big, it's easier to see the hand of Krishna in the small things as every day, you know, through the devotees. What happens is that we are, Prabhupada says, sarva pape bio. We become entangled by our sinful activities with the thought that I am independent. It is so inside that I keep on, even when I am giving guidance, I forget and I behave the opposite. I am independent, I can do whatever I like, I am as good as God. This attitude is the characteristic that inside, although dressed as a devotee, I still think that I am God. That's why Prabhupada repeats this so many times now. So when a devotee comes to the point that I need to remember Krishna, everything is being done by Krishna, then I can abandon my independent style. No? Sarva dharman paritya yama mekan saranam braja hantuan sarva pape vio moksha sisyami masuchan. Don't worry, Krishna says. Don't be afraid to take shelter of Krishna. No, we are asked to do some service, move to a side, do it. Krishna will help. So, a liberated So Prabhupada says, Sarvadharma Parityaya, he becomes liberated immediately. He becomes mukta. When one acts as Jivera Svarupai, one becomes liberated. Liberated does not mean that everything is finished, but rather everything starts at this point. When we surrender to Krishna, we reach mukti. We transcend the modes of nature. And there, everything starts. Not everything is finished, like the impersonalist says, then we become Brahman, nothing. No, then everything starts. Then devotional service can start when I surrender to Krishna. When the living entity, this purpose says, when the living entity lives within the material body, he falsely thinks that he is the body, although actually he is not. Then his relationship with the body and his so-called father and mother are false illusory conceptions. And these illusions continue as long as one is not enlightened about the situation of the living entity. And the situation is that I am Jivera Svarupai, Krishna Nityadas, Krishna's eternal servant. And then in the next verse, Srila Prabhupada in the purport talks about Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, that we simultaneously oneness and difference. So the living entity is Nitya, it's like the Supreme Lord, it's eternal, it's never gonna die. We are eternal beings. And the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is... is great, we are small, and he is great. The living entity is Sukshma, very small. And therefore, we have the tendency to be covered. And therefore the devotee, sorry. So we need to remember Krishna. As soon as we remember Krishna, the cloud goes away. No, like the sun now is entering very mildly, it's very mild, shy, very shy sunshine, little lit, no? But the sun is coming, no? So when we remember Krishna, Krishna comes in as much as we remember to him, no? So, therefore, Krishna is like the sunlight, and Maya is compared to darkness. Wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness. And therefore, the devotee prays, O my Lord, primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, regulating principle, and destination of your pure devotees, please, my Lord, remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the sun, as I am. We are the smallest, and he is the greatest. But as soon as we come in contact with Krishna, then darkness is dissipated. So I don't know if you have any questions or comments, something to say or to subtract. So after many, many births, he who actually is in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. But Srila Prabhupada wanted us all to become rare souls, no, to become Krishna conscious. And the process is here, it's very simple for the simple, just to accept the hand of the Lord in everything that happens around us, remember him. Sometimes we have a very difficult situation, and sometimes the situation is very jubilant, but we need to remember that I am not the enjoyer, I am just a servant, and let's see what can I do in this situation to serve the Lord and serve the devotees of the Lord. Okay, Prabhu first and then you.
As we are practicing this false ego, it's constantly covering our consciousness. And you explain that something happened and then maybe you remember.
Excuse me, can you repeat?
As we are practicing.
Yes.
The false ego.
Yes.
Is covering our consciousness.
Yes.
Even if something happens, maybe some situation, and then you are forced to remember Krishna.
I remember like that. I remember two things. One sad experience.
I didn't finish it.
What?
I didn't finish.
Oh, okay.
So you are forced to remember Krishna, but then again we forget. So, what is your, how to say, advice? How to not be always covered again and again and again and again?
Listen. Listen to the bodies. You were talking to me and I was not listening properly. I need to listen to the devotees. That's a main point. What an experience for this not to happen again and again. Well, one experience was that I was I come from Ivraya Mandala, as I already shared with you, big farm community in Spain, which was going through a very difficult time, was about to be sold, and I had the brilliant idea to come to Mayapur. Although all the devotees in Spain, the National Council, GBCs, and had given their sound resolution, I mean, was they had good plans and sound reasons, solid reasons to think like that, for the farm to be sold. Okay, I'm going to share a thing with this. And what happens was that sometimes Krishna shakes us. So Kadambakanana Maharaj had come. He was not from the yatra. And he was visiting Ivraya Mandala periodically. And he had not expressed himself against nor in favor to sell Ivraya Mandala, but he was visiting. And before class, all the devotees were coming to Mayapur. And before class, he turned to me and he asked me, what would you do if Ivraya Mandala would not be sold? The farm was going to be sold, and I had to look for a place near the new temple where was the deities were going to be moved. And I had to look a place there, and I had all sorts of facilities to have a good place just very close to the temple in Malaga, very nice place. So although I had the plans of the maps of the house and everything, you know, I said immediately, I would not go, I would stay. And then he gave the class, and a devotee was translating, and you know, men are from Mars and ladies, women are from Venus, and men are very practical and clear, and women are more intuitive. So Maharaj was finishing the class, and I knew that he had been learning Spanish with a servant he had who was from Portugal, a funny way to learn Spanish. But nice devotee. So and Maharaj is very expert in languages, so he was becoming a little bit fluent with Spanish. And at the last of the class, he wanted to say one sentence in Spanish. And he said, I immediately understood it, but the devotee, who was a brahmachari, he didn't understand the sentence because he mixed a word that was not what he wanted to say. He said, in Spanish, he said, mañana vamos a Mayapur. Podría suceder un Fátima. He was saying, tomorrow we are going to Mayapur, and who knows? Now he wanted to say, he was speaking in English, I remember. Tomorrow we are going to Mayapur, and who knows, it could happen, and now is the Spanish word he was willing to say. Tomorrow we are going to Mayapur, and it could happen, Fátima. Fátima is a name of a virgin who appeared in Portugal, and it is called the miracle of Fátima. And instead of saying miracle, he said Fátima. So this devotee didn't understand what Maharaj was trying to say, but I immediately understood because I was eager to know Ivraya Mandala not to be sold. And I immediately understood. And I said, milagro, Maharaj. And as soon, it was simultaneous. Maharaj said Fátima. The devotee said nothing like that. I said, milagro. And Sri Govinda Chandra, who is so attractive, so wonderful, such wonderful deities we have in Spain, Govinda Chandra, who holds the flute, bling, the flute stood straight on his right hand and make a sound because, you know, the flute is... And we were all like this. And I, who had said miracle, I was really, whoa, Krishna. And that was the situation that Krishna pushed me. I had been behaving like a Mataji, you know, what we sometimes in wrong mentality we understand, no? A person who is sometimes, we would, that doesn't express herself. Sometimes we get this concoction. So I had not been saying my thoughts about it. I had vote, no vote. And all of a sudden, after that, I realized why I am not giving my opinion. And the devotees were going to Mayapur. There was no chance for me to talk with them. So I didn't have my passport, was off. And in 24 hours after class, I told my children, make breakfast, I'm going to police to get my passport. I'll explain you later on. My sons are used to my fist to their mother. So I say, okay, something fun is going to happen. She will tell us later, and they prepare breakfast. So I went. In 24 hours, I got the passport. I got the visa. I got a person. I found a devotee who had been managing New Rayamandala. And I told him, Prabhu, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to Mayapur to give my opinion. And I got my passport. Do you know many persons who have companies to sell tickets? And he said, but I have no money. And he said, okay, good. Because when the person who wanted to give a donation to New Rayamandala has blocked the bank to send it because it's going to be sold. I'm going to talk to him. Let's see if he wants to give it to you for you to go to Mayapur. He phoned. He said, great, good idea, because I don't want New Rayamandala to be sold. He phoned to a friend, and this gentle Indian, because Indians are so pious, Indian person gave me a ticket without having money, because the money was blocked. It was going to take a week to reach. So sometimes Krishna works like that, no? And I came to Mayapur with a photo of Radha Govinda Chandra. And New Rayamandala was not sold. Of course, the EBCs were asking me why. I only wanted to give my opinion. I didn't have a plan. I said, well, according to my perspective, New Rayamandala should not be sold. Has no debts, wonderful place. And wonderful deities have been installed for so many years. New Rayamandala was not sold, and when I came back, I found with all the keys for 200 persons to be hosted in the farm, the accounts, the deity worship. There were no pujaris. I got all the pujas, all everything. Not the cooking, fortunately, there was a cook. And Kadambakanara Maharaj asked the only pujari that was there not to leave. And he said, okay, I will wake up the deities in the morning and make the bath of the small deities, that's all. And Maharaj also asked me to make dramas. And I would write the scripts because I would only have children and one bhakta, so I would write the scripts according. So Krishna can turn things like that. And then another thing happened, and that's why I'm here also after some years. And now New Rayamandala is going so nicely, no? So Krishna comes into our lives, and I didn't have time to keep on with this mentality because two hands were not enough. So this is what was your question again? Is this well, I don't know if... What was the question?
How to not forget Krishna?
How?
Not to forget, because we are constantly forgetting.
How to forget?
Sometimes we remember when something happened, like you describe your story.
How but not to forget Krishna?
But and again, we get covered, our false ego again presented, we are something special, like that, you know?
So praying to Krishna, I was praying, I was in a difficult situation. I was praying to Krishna, pray to Krishna, and Krishna will move things in such a way that we won't be able to forget Krishna. So this story comes because of this. We pray to Krishna, I was praying to Krishna every day. Every day. And Krishna will behave in ways that we won't be able to forget him. And that's why I'm praying again, because we come again. But then it is like a child, no? One starts learning how to run a bicycle and he runs and then falls. And then, or a child who is learning to walk, that gives 3 steps and then falls and then gets up again and then gives 10 steps and falls again. So we have to keep on practice. We pray to the Lord, Krishna places us in a circumstance that we cannot forget him, then we forget again, and then we keep on praying again, like that. It's a bit late. Oh no, it's still time. For her, she had also a question. Pones el botoncito.
Si puedo hacer mi pregunta en, okay. En español. Es un poco compleja. Cuando yo adquiero conocimiento trascendental, cuando me muero, llevo ese conocimiento trascendental. El alma lleva ese conocimiento trascendental, ¿no es cierto?
¿Cuál es tu pregunta?
Ya. Y cuando estoy en el mundo material, estoy haciendo trabajos materiales, aunque sean templos, y cuando me muero no llevo ese conocimiento al mundo trascendental. Entonces, deberíamos todos adquirir conocimiento trascendental en vez de adquirir habilidades para hacer cosas materiales.
Bien, entonces tu pregunta es que la constitución del alma es eterna de conocimiento, conocimiento trascendental. Y cuando estamos sirviendo, nos ocupamos en trabajos y por tanto ese conocimiento trascendental no se manifiesta. Entonces, ¿cómo descubrir, cómo...?
No, no se va al mundo trascendendental, el alma no se lo lleva.
Se mantiene las habilidades materiales.
Claro.
Entonces, ¿cómo vivir?
Entonces, deberíamos vivir adquiriendo conocimiento trascendental.
Yes, I'm trying to understand her question. It's a bit.
Deberíamos vivir adquiriendo conocimiento trascendental y no conocimiento material, como hacer edificios, por ejemplo.
Bien. So she says that the nature of the soul is full of knowledge, no, transcendental knowledge. But we find ourselves even being here in Mayapur, and we are employing our abilities, material abilities, as buildings as her service, being in, she's an architect. So she's her knowledge is material knowledge. No? So how we can experience spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge? How can we overcome matter? No? ¿Cómo podemos superar esa how to work in devotional service in state of material, buildings, no? So, yes, the soul is full Sachidananda Vigraha, is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And the matter, body, is opposite, no? It's temporary, ignorant, and full of miseries. And knowledge, even knowledge, material, we can achieve material knowledge. As you are an architect, you have so much knowledge about how to build buildings, no? And we can say you are very intelligent, but if this intelligence, we don't use it for the service of Krishna, even though one may be, this is your question, even though one may have so much material knowledge, we are not grasping spiritual, the nature of the soul, no? So that's why we have sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is a process, is practicing to be a devotee. I cannot move in the spiritual realm of eternity, full knowledge and full bliss, but gradually. It can happen very fast in a moment, Prabhupada says, but generally it is a process, and therefore we have sadhana bhakti, and therefore we have varna ashram dharma. So, according to our nature, the spiritual master engages in a service in which we can use the intelligence. The intelligence is being given by Krishna. Don't forget that. Whatever intelligence I have is being given by Krishna. So the only thing I need to do is to use this intelligence in the service of Krishna. And remember this. I may be working with lines and mathematics and all this, and when I am working with mathematics and doing lines very precisely, maybe one is thinking Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but maybe one has to be measuring the millimeters, the centimeters, you know? Your intelligence and concentration has to be there. But because the spiritual master has told us, has told you to build buildings for Mayapur, that's perfect. I think I am the doer. That's why I think I have to remember Krishna. But it will happen gradually, generally. And it starts by following the instruction of the spiritual master. Never think that getting busy with building buildings is material. It is not. It's like iron. Iron is hard, is cold, and is black. And fire is light, is gaseoso, is not, is soft. It has no shape, no, and is light. So, what happens when we place the iron inside the fire? When we use our material abilities, although I may be dealing with numbers, that consciousness, although I do not perceive, is becoming spiritualized, is becoming purified, because I am no longer acting for my pleasure. I do not want to have a building in Mayapur, I mean, thousands or hundreds or whatever, or 10 buildings in Mayapur. I am not, you are not building a building because you want to have this building for you. You building the building for to please your spiritual master and Krishna and the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think this is clear. What we need is to follow the instructions given by the spiritual master, and then our consciousness becomes purified and becomes like fire. It becomes transcendental to the modes of nature. And why? Because we give the soul to this service, then other things come in between. And we are not interested. We are no longer interested in eating the cake that is on the street, no longer full of eggs and whatever consciousness is there. We do not longer feel attracted to it. So it's happening. Don't think that your consciousness is not changing. Although you may be dealing with numbers and lines, your consciousness has changed. You are no longer interested in eating food that is not offered to Krishna. You are attracted to come into the temple to live with devotees. You are no longer attracted to live in a city in Spain full of cars and horns and a beautiful apartment with no scorching heat like sometimes we experience here. You are no longer attracted to this. You want to live here. So your consciousness, this proves, and what are you doing? You are following the instruction of your spiritual master. So this is the only thing. We need to engage our senses, our mind, our intelligence in the service of Krishna, sadhana bhakti, according to our nature, our varna, and our ashram also. That's all I can say. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, and all glories to the devotees.